Welcome to the Humanity Matters podcast, where we discuss and reflect on faith and philosophy, leadership and social issues. We want to engage in ideas and what it means to be a free human being in the pursuit of human flourishing. For more information, please visit our website, philipfletcher.org. And now, the Humanity Matters podcast. All right, so deontological ethics. We are going to investigate this man and his ideas, Immanuel Kant. All right, and Kant developed the idea that we're going to zero in on called the categorical imperative. Probably.
I can't read it.
So, there's a poem you may or may not be familiar with. Am I not a man, a brother? Ought I not then to be free? Sell me not to one another. Take not thus my liberty. Christ our Savior, died for me as well as thee. Am I not a man? Brother. Are we not the same? Are we not both equally human? Should we approach one another in such a way that that humanness, who we are substantively, universally, wherever we are across time and space, whatever country that we're in, whatever city, society, am I not a man? Am I not a woman? Am I not a brother? Am I not a sister? And if that's the case, then I should not be sold, treated as a product, a commodity, an instrument to be used to achieve your own devices. So, as we get started in this idea of the categorical imperative, one of the things we always have to do, we have to define our terms, all right? So, there is what is called the hypothetical imperative. So essentially, these are these conditions, these rules that govern these type of behaviors that may or may not occur. All right, so I'm trying to come up, condition myself as to what is the right or the wrong thing to do in this hypothetical type situation. Now, in the previous weeks, we've investigated hypothetical type situations, right? Trolleys, different situations in the life. The categorical imperative looks at something different. All right? For Kant, he's looking at a universal principle. For the categorical imperative, he's looking at a moral law that regardless of condition, regardless of your hypothetical, this is the right thing to do. Period. Cross time, cross space. This is essentially the right thing to do. Am I not a man? Am I not a brother? And if so, why am I being sold? If I'm a man, if I'm a brother, a sister, a woman, why take away my liberty in order to achieve your particular end? So for Kant and his categorical imperative, he is looking for a fundamental principle in which to govern your moral decisions. Now, of course, it's bringing great snacks. So, for this crush, what is the purpose of this soda? Why?
Because I'm thirsty.
Because you're thirsty. So, this has, serves as a product, an object. It's a commodity. It was bought out of a store. For what purpose?
To drink, because I was drinking.
The drinking is a means. For what purpose?
To quench your thirst.
Okay. What about your thirst?
I need it.
She said that she don't want to be thirsty no more. Yeah. The throat's dry.
Throat is dry, right? So you're trying to establish what?
A reason.
No. What is the reason Kevin went down and bought this drink?
I was thirsty.
Thirsty. So that's the negative. So the positive is to establish what? I'm drinking this so that, yes, I'm not thirsty, but I'm drinking this so that I will be
hydrated. I'm not going to be hydrated.
You may be a little hydrated, but not a lot. What else?
Relief.
What else?
It's sweet.
It's sweet. Sweet. All right. So it's going to do something not only for the body, but also for the brain. Right. It's going to give you a short term fix because eventually, guess what? You're going to want another one. You're going to crash. Right. So the purchase of the object, the commodity, is seeking to achieve a particular end. So the crush is a means to a particular end, right? Now, with the categorical imperative, if you really want to understand it, how it played out, a great example of this is Dr. Martin Luther King. And so from his speech, 1962, The Demands of Integration, listen to this. And I quote, "There must be a recognition of the sacredness of human personality. Deeply rooted in our political and religious heritage is the conviction that every man is an heir to a legacy of dignity and worth. Segregation stands diametrically opposed to the principle of sacredness of human personality. It debases personality. Immanuel Kant said in one formulation of the categorical imperative that, quote, all men must be treated as ends and never as mere means," close quote. King continues on, "The tragedy of segregation is that it treats men and women as means rather than ends, and thereby reduces them to things rather than persons. But a man is not a thing. A woman is not a thing. He must be dealt with not as an animated tool, but as a person sacred in himself. To do otherwise is to depersonalize the potential person and desecrate what he is," close quote. And that is from his speech, The Ethical Demands for Integration, 1962. What is it that we can draw from that? Let's throw that out there. What is King trying to draw from Immanuel Kant, who said that human beings are persons, not tools or objects? What does it mean to be a person? Let's break this down. Somebody.
Having your own ideas.
Okay. The ability to think for
yourself.
Oneself. So Immanuel Kant would say that for the human being, we are autonomous creatures. All right? So we have, one, we have the ability to think for ourselves, the ability to rationalize, to take in information, interrogate that information, and come to a possible conclusion. Now, the conclusion may be wrong. It may be right. Maybe it's going to be lacking something, but nonetheless, we're autonomous in our thinking. What else? What does it mean to be a person?
A human being with
feelings,
emotions.
Okay.
An opinion.
Okay. So now we're getting into the emotive. A human being is a person who possesses the ability to respond emotionally to internal or external circumstances. What else does it mean to be a person?
Y'all share some basic words. You shouldn't share some basic human.
Okay, now we were in that last week. What is that? And we will actually get to that in a second. Because what happens when my right to eat encroaches on your right to maintain 100% of your property?
That's different.
Should I be? Should you be in service to me so that I eat?
Well, it's up to me if I want to give you something.
Okay, we'll see. All right. So, what else does it mean to be a person? Have you thought about what it means to be human?
A heart.
A brain.
Okay, so now we're getting into biology, right?
But animals have hearts.
Okay. So what distinguishes, good, what distinguishes the human animal, if you will?
The ability to think.
Okay, so we get back to rationality again. Some would argue to have a...
The ability to have empathy.
Empathy. Okay. Animals can have some empathy.
Which ones?
The ability
to formulate your own opinions.
Okay, we circled around that one. But what else?
But that's what makes you human, though.
But see, if we will, the poem I quoted was either it was a poem about an image about a slave who had his hands up on his knees. Have you seen that image? Mm-hmm. Right? Okay, wow. All right. Slaves had their own opinions and thoughts, but yet they were still enslaved.
They're human too.
Yes. But just like King was making the argument that it was unethical for segregation, right? What made it unethical for one human being to forcibly put into service another human being to achieve his or her own particular ends? What made it unethical to take a human being and turn him or her into a bottle of crush?
Why would you turn someone into a bottle of crush?
It's an object, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a tool.
Yes. Oh, they're saying true.
To satisfy, to meet Cain's needs and stuff. Right?
True.
Isn't that what slavery did?
True.
Wasn't slavery the depersonalization of a group of human beings, moving them from persons to objects in order to satisfy the thirst, the hunger, the economic situation of another group of people?
Yes.
So, for Kant, and then Martin Luther King drawing upon Kant in his categorical imperative, human beings as persons should not be depersonalized, meaning we are subjects. Write that down. We are subjects, not objects. So this is establishing Kant's universal principle. This moral law across time, across space, it doesn't matter what the conditions are, doesn't matter the situation. For Kant specifically, in this one example, it is wrong to enslave people, period. It doesn't matter the justification. It doesn't matter what the outcome is intended to be. So I'm going to enslave Travis in order that every Tuesday and Thursday, he is going to carry me on his back from Little Rock to Conway.
He'll be going here.
It's fine.
Back and forward.
It's fine.
Almost
like 30
minutes.
It's more than
30 minutes
when
you're walking.
It is.
Yeah,
oh.
That's a drive.
No, he's gonna carry me on his back.
Tell you battle.
It matters not what he has in terms of opinion. It matters not in terms of not necessarily his physical condition. But he is in service to me in order that my needs are what?
Every day, yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Every Tuesday and Thursday. He is in my service.
10 hours and 21 minutes.
Now, as absurd as that sounds, we put this forward in order to demonstrate that human beings are ends in and of themselves. And so for Kant, he says it is right that when we approach one another as human beings, we're approaching one another as subjects. Now, what does that mean then? Now, let's bring it a little more realistic. So I mentioned that I was hungry. And I've tried, and I've tried to find employment. Let's try. Every place I go says I can't work there. I've gone to DeMarcus's business. He said, nope. We're going to Travis's, nope. We're going to Ashanti's. She's like, oh, nope, nope. Gone to Caden's, nope. And I'm stuck here, hungry. And then I say, you know what? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. All of you here. Four. And I've got a group of people behind me with weapons.
I'm locking up.
That a percentage of what each one of your businesses earn is going to come to me so that I can eat. You're eating. You're looking all good up in here and stuff. Who said that last week? Killmonger. So I've got the force of individuals behind me who have felt bad for me. They're like, you know what? We will go to those four and we will force them to give them a percentage of what they earn to you so that you can eat. Hold on a second.
Right.
We'll get there. Good question. According to Kant, in his categorical imperative, am I in the right?
According to
him,
you're
no.
Am I? How so?
According to Kant.
Yes. According to the categorical imperative. Think caps on. Are we all human beings in this scenario?
Yes.
Okay. In this scenario, am I approaching you as subjects or objects?
An object.
All right. So then, according to King, who's drawing on Kant, I have moved from personalizing you to, his words, depersonalizing you. Right? I have moved you from subject to object to what King described as a tool.
You're no longer a person.
Who's no longer a person?
You.
No, you.
No, me.
Us.
Me?
Y'all.
Us.
Yes.
We gotta be the no longer a person.
So according to Kant, he's in the wrong.
Why?
Because you made it to where we weren't people anymore.
Why?
You were just using this as a tool to get food.
Okay.
But you use yourself as a tool to get food because you couldn't find a job. So technically, that's not my fault if you dehumanizing yourself. Think about it.
I'm listening.
It's not my fault if you decided to dehumanize yourself and come to me as a tool.
So pause.
But this is
it's my fault if I looked at you,
okay,
dehumanized you, and made you a tool.
Okay. So first part of your argument. Starting with myself, Ms. Ashanti is arguing that because I'm not actively choosing to go find work in order to feed myself, I'm depersonalizing myself.
You came to me looking for something.
Well, starting with myself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, is that a correct summation?
Not really.
Okay. Unpack it a little bit more then.
Okay. So what I'm saying is, you exhausted all your other options.
Right.
Because you're saying that you went to everybody and you looked for a job and you could not find one.
Yes.
Right? So you're coming to me and my thing is, I want to make you a tool.
Do what? Do you?
Well, at this point, if you come to me and that, and if that's what I need, then that's what you're gonna end up being.
Okay. Are you talking about because I've used the force behind me, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yes, that is correct. I'm making you into a tool, and I am reinforcing the making of that tool because I'm using the threat of violence.
Right.
Okay. But I'm hungry. That's not my need to eat. And my right to life, does it not justify my action?
No.
How so?
In the real world, people don't care if you're hungry. Nobody cares. You have to make a way for yourself. If I went out in the real world today and I stood on the curb and I said with a sign that I'm hungry, if you felt inclined to give me a dollar to get something to eat, you would do it, but nobody is inclined to give me anything to eat. I have to go and find it myself.
Mm-hmm. Somebody else.
Ask a question.
Do you accept or reject Ashanti's claim?
I accept it.
How so?
Because, it's not going back to saying, it's not my job to, provide for you. The only person I need to provide for is myself.
Mm-hmm.
So, say if you need to go dig some trash cans, that's what has to happen. Because if I don't have enough space to give you a place to work to be able to make money to buy food, then there's nothing else that I can do other than give you a dollar.
Can somebody defend my position? Somebody make a defense for my position. Let's lessen the penalty. So, I'm here in need of food. You're not going to freely give it to me. Thus, I go get some friends who are going to make you give it to me. They're going to come to your door once a month and ask for a percentage. And if you do not give that percentage, we will stand in front of your door and prevent other people from coming in. That's financially hurting you.
No, it's not, because I'm going to call the police, so I'm going to shoot you.
Hold on. Those individuals who are behind me are the police.
Oh. Well.
So somebody make a defense for my position. I'm hungry, and my family is hungry. I have 3 kids at home. I'm a single father, and my kids are starving. Somebody defend my position. Somebody rise up and defend my position right now.
Sometimes you
got to
do it.
Give me an argument, because that argument wouldn't stand in a paper.
It's hard to make an argument, but it's not to make.
How so?
When you when I have a certain set of beliefs and I believe it's wrong to like Dr. King was saying, to it's wrong on any circumstance to dehumanize a person, no mm-hmm. matter mm-hmm. what your situation is, mm-hmm. it's gonna be hard for me, just like anybody else in this class, to make an argument for you dehumanizing us just because you're home.
Okay.
I'll try.
DeMarcus. Okay.
I'll try.
Okay.
I agree with Dr. Fletcher because he took the proper precautions and he got authorities to help him. The police said that that's what we have to do, so we must do it.
But just like Shanta asked earlier, why couldn't the police help? Why couldn't they give him no? Why couldn't they be?
I mean, it's the same little question he had asked earlier, Ashanti.
Okay, so this is something I just came up with just now. Okay, so to be on your side.
Okay.
I am being taken from my home, right?
Okay.
I'm gonna tie this to slavery. So you took me from my home. You brought me here and you're not gonna help me. I'm gonna find a way for you to help me.
Okay.
Because you brought me in here with no means of survival, and I have to learn how to survive on my own. So because I have to learn how to survive on my own, somebody has to be uncomfortable for me to live comfortably.
Okay.
And that's your approach. You want somebody else to be uncomfortable so that you can be comfortable.
Okay.
That's not how the real world works.
Okay.
But you added another variable to the situation.
How?
In the scenario he presented, Dr. Fletcher presented, nobody, we didn't bring him over here for him to be home. In your example, yeah, they brought slaves over and they didn't help them. But in Dr. Fletcher's example, nobody forced him to be home. Nobody brought him over to wherever we are for him to be home. He was here himself.
That's true. Well, I can't defend you.
Okay, good. So let's add a layer to this. So in order for, I'm standing here, behind me is law enforcement who is going to seek to enforce it. In order for there to be law enforcement, implied in that is a law, right? That means there was another group who passed a law that said y'all individuals are going to give a percentage in order that I and my three kids would be fed.
So then, would it be fair, right? Would it be fair?
Right.
If because you have
Let's
three
not
kids,
use the word fair. Is
okay,
it right?
Would it be just?
Okay.
If you said you have three kids and you're hungry and your kids are hungry, why don't we put you in the hospital and we make you get a vasectomy to stop you from having kids so that you and your kids don't be hungry? Would it be fair? So not only, would it be just? Because you're making us uncomfortable.
Okay.
Because you and your kids are hungry. So let's make you uncomfortable now. You won't be able to have any more kids. So now you have to think about you and your three kids and not four, five, six more kids.
But that doesn't address the hunger that is immediate right now.
I don't know. I just feel like that's not fair.
You could split it between you and kids.
But so you should forcibly sterilize me in order for me to eat.
You're forcibly
so you should
giving
forcibly.
Me. You're forcibly making me give you food and money. You're coming with police and reinforcement to make me give you my hard-earned.
But hold on a second. But is it not just because a law was passed?
All laws are unjust.
If it's a law,
but you have to follow the law.
They won't have to go to, you won't have to go to the measures that you did to enforce it. If it's already a law.
So, am I to surmise that there is immorality at play when a law turns a human person or a group of human persons into objects to serve the needs of another subject?
Yes.
Charles says yes. Shanti?
The law is the law, damn it. So whether it's
but what you just said,
instead of the following.
Hold on a second. But what you just claimed,
mm-hmm.
that there are laws that are what?
Not fair.
Not fair. Let's not use the word fair.
Not just.
Just, okay.
So whether it's just or not, you still have to follow it.
Do you?
No.
You do. Because
no.
it's the law.
Really? So then, if that is the case then, was King wrong? Because the law was segregation.
Well, unless...
Okay,
I'm explaining it. I'm explaining it. If the law is segregation, right?
And you just claimed that it's the law, you have to follow it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. At what point do you divert? This is where we're at this week.
It's not diversion.
Are you sure?
I'm sure. It's not diversion. You still have to follow the law, but there are laws that you can make new laws. And there are laws that you can state your rights as a human being. Not all laws are in favor of other laws. You get what I'm saying?
No. So in order for the existing law, which you just made a...
You can petition for it to be a new law.
Right. And in the petitioning of a new law, are you not implying that the old law is what?
Outdated.
Or?
Wrong.
Not moral, but wrong. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're making a moral argument that even to advance a new law in place of an existing law, right?
Mm-hmm.
You are, by implication, making a claim that it's just not culturally relevant anymore,
mm-hmm.
right? Which would then also imply that it's not even moral, or it's found to be the whole time immoral, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then there are laws that just simply have to be done away with. And that's what Kant would argue, and that's what King and the Civil Rights Movement said. We've got these laws that we've been following, but we recognize that they're what? Immoral. Universally. It doesn't matter where. So, for Kant, it was the establishment of the kingdom of ends. What this meant was this ideal in which a society would exist in which individuals are ends in and of themselves. That for each one of us, we are existing in the society not as tools in order to meet the needs of somebody else, but yet we are functioning in such a way, autonomous, free thinking, emotional, in such a way that we are experiencing what that poem said, liberty, what it meant to be a full human being. Am I not a man, a woman? Am I not a brother, a sister? So that I'm not sold, but that I could experience liberty. Why? Because Christ our Savior died for me and thee. There's equality there. All right. Next thing is this, that for Kant, he saw perfect and imperfect duties. So there are things that ought to be done. This just ought to be done. Like, you ought not to kill somebody. You ought to feed the hungry. Not because you're forced. I see you. For Kant, he saw this duty was tied to a good will. Write that down, you may see that on your test. This duty is tied to good will. So I see Ashanti hungry. She's got her sign up down there on Broadway, right? Got her hair all pulled back, right? Out there, right? My goodwill motivates me to do the right thing because I see Ashanti not as an object to be ignored and depersonalized, but as a subject, a person. And so even in going down to cross the way to Popeyes and getting her, excuse me, stopping and saying, hey, what's your name?
Ashanti.
How long have you been out here?
A day.
A day? Are you hungry?
Sure.
Do you like Popeyes or Wendy's? Or what would you like from Popeyes?
Spicy chicken.
That whole time, I have treated Ashanti not as object, meaning, oh, you're hungry? I'm just going to go get something for you.
Of the goodness of your heart.
But out of the goodness of my heart, not only do I know her name, I ask her how long she's been here, but then I ask her, what is it that you want? Mm-hmm. The whole time I've maintained the subjectivity of who she is. Now, I can personalize Ashanti this way too. I drive by, looking out my Jeep. Hey, what's your name?
Shante.
How long you been out here?
Day.
A day. Are you doing all right? Well, you know, I don't have anything to give you, but I just want to let you know it's going to be all right. Here's some resources for you. All right? I hope you would check these out. Okay? Did I give her food?
No.
Did I give her money?
No.
But did I talk to her?
Yes.
Did I acknowledge her existence?
Yes.
Did I have conversation with her?
Yes.
Personalizing somebody, maintaining their subjectivity, not their objectivity, even though she's objectively there. So those are things I ought to do. Now, there are imperfect duties as well. We can go back and forth on these. Suicide. Someone is overcome with grief for whatever reason, the inability to deal with the pain that they've been going through for an extended period of time, then take their life. A loved one is in a hospital, and a decision needs to be made whether or not to take them off of life support. Imperfect duties. Are these things we ought to do? Is this the right thing to do?
Isn't this where the gray area comes in?
Yes. Then what say you? What say you? And so, for these imperfect duties and perfect duties, again, we have to, in Kant's understanding, appeal to the universal law of nature, how is it that we are to treat one another as human beings? Am I pulling the plug because it's going to make me feel better? Or am I maintaining them on the life support because it's going to make me feel better? And in that case, have I objectified my loved one who is in that hospital bed? Have a good day. Hey, if you found something of value, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Find us on Facebook at Dr. Philip Fletcher. Find us on Twitter at Phil Fletcher. And as always, visit us on the website philipfletcher.org.